Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I am your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to kind of do a different kind of a show. For the last 6 weeks, we've been doing a show on, we did our cafe book club, which was just really fabulous. We did Big Magic, which is by Elizabeth Gilbert. She was the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And there was so many really rich and wonderful things that came out of that. When we're really looking at creativity, we're moving away from fear about what creativity was all about. And this week was just really kind of an interesting week for me. I was looking at just a couple of different things. And tonight we're calling our show The Tao of Resilience, and it's Deepening the Path of the Soul. And one of the reasons I really came in with that is because I've just really been noticing just the conversations that have been going on. I'm a big fan of Super Soul Sunday with Oprah, and also just looking at different experiences that we had. So I just really want to share that with you. And again, if anybody's wanting to go ahead and jump into the conversation, we've got our chat room open, which is going to be, if you want to get on the switchboard, it's going to be 646-727-3206, and that'll give you an opportunity to come in. And we also have our chat room open if you want to go ahead and ask any questions online. We really want to appreciate that and see what you guys have to say about it. So let's go ahead and get started on that. So, again, I was looking at Super Soul Sunday with Oprah, and she had David Brooks on there. He's a columnist from the New York Times, and he has recently read a book called The Road to Character. And what I really love about the interview that she had with David was really looking at character and the fact that we're really coming from the Second World War into where we are now, that there's just been a dynamic shift in the way that we look at ourselves and how we're really moving just from a level of humility in the way that we're in the world to more of a more self-centered and looking from the internet in the way that, you know, how many likes do I get on Facebook? Are people watching my Twitter? Or am I having all these different conversations and having vines where people are being able to look at themselves and coming from just a sense of identity has really shifted, even with YouTube and having it with just so many people. One of the things that came out from David Brooks' book, again, that was called The Road to Character, was an interview, some research that they'd done with the School of Education at Harvard. And there's a series of questions that they've been pretty much asking, I think, for at least 3 or 4 decades. And one of the things that they always ask everybody is, you know, what are things that are really important to you? And back in the 80s, it was about being famous was out of, like, 16 different things, it would maybe be 15. And now that what they're finding is that it's in the top 5. People want to be famous. They want to be known for who they are and what they do. And that's just a very dynamic shift when it comes to just coming from a level of our sense of identity and who we are. And I really wanted to bring that into resilience and looking at, you know, what does it really take to have something when it comes to just having different situations that have been going on in the world, and making it to where we can really own them for ourselves and being able to move past things that just seem like challenges. And whether it's being on, I guess in some ways you could be challenged by Facebook and having yourself on YouTube and things like that. But it's a very different when it comes to looking at myself in front of a camera instead of the way that I might be able to help change the world and move the world in a different way. I think of Mother Teresa and just so many decades that she just really dedicated herself through her love of and her faith of the Lord, that really put something just very unique and precious into the world, and being able to just be with so many people in need. And I can think of stories that were really wonderful of people looking into her eyes and seeing, you know, Christ's presence within her. So she really just helped to be somebody who would come from service and be of service. So it was just really a beautiful and wonderful thing. But actually, there's a new movie coming out that's about Mother Teresa. And just from all things that I've heard about it, they're talking about Academy Award nominations with that, because it's always interesting. In around Christmas time, the last theater movies that they put out seems like things that really get nominated for Academy Awards. So it's always good to be looking at, you know, what's in the movie theaters right now, because we get a sense of like what's going to be coming in March. But so looking at the Tao of Resilience, it really comes, I guess, from really looking at character value, but also looking at what we really, how can we really be making a difference in the world? And one of the things I'm hoping with this conversation is that we can move into something that really helps us to be looking at our lives, you know, how we make a difference with other people, and how that really can come back to ourselves. My daughter and I had gone to a Mythbusters show that they had the other day here in Riverside with Jamie Hyman and Adam Savage. And one of the things that was really wonderful on that show was Adam had started the show by talking about the three things that he loved were Legos, Star Wars, and then that he had learned how to juggle because his dad learned how to juggle. And one thing that he learned with the juggling was that he always could see that he was making progress. And it was really wonderful the way he described the process of being able to develop a new skill, and how there's all that excitement at the beginning because you definitely have this edge of just getting better and better and better. And then once you get that plateau, seeing that it takes that much more effort to be able to keep improving. And my daughter Katie was watching that, and she really got a lot out of that conversation. And just looking at the resilience of what it takes to be able to have your skills, have yourself as a sense of yourself developing as a person, and that, you know, you're going to drop, just like with juggling, you're going to be dropping things continually, and knowing that that's not failure, it's just a matter of you being able to fine-tune what you do. And we had talked about that in Big Magic about, you know, one of the things that Elizabeth always talked about was that, you know that you're going to fail, and that failure is an okay thing. There's nothing wrong with failure. And really moving yourself into being able to take that as being resilient, and just to saying, you know, what if I were, and there's always that saying we talked about when we were doing our book club, of that old saying that says, you know, what would you do if you couldn't fail? And the real message is, what would you do even if you knew you would fail? And just a matter of, there's something within you that really wants to come and blossom within you. You just get excited about the idea of doing something. Allow yourself to really come from that place of being able to have that be something that helps to nurture you and bring you forward with the things that you want to be working on. So with that whole conversation that Adam had, it was just really wonderful to see that there's just so many ways that we can really develop ourselves, and being able to have it where we think that we need to be having our goals in life where we're, you know, what did I want to be when I grew up? Well, what if you just were going from thing to thing that excited you and really helped you to know yourself in a better way? That's one thing that both Jamie and Adam had shared with the show last night, that they didn't necessarily have a dream of what they wanted to be when they grew up. They were just going from the next thing to the next thing that just felt like the most right thing for them to be doing. And because of that, now they have these careers where they just have a multitude of different skills that really help them to be able to start doing Mythbusters. And even with Mythbusters, one thing that Adam had shared was that he could never have thought that everything that it had prepared him to be able to step into that show, and that they've been doing the show for 14 years, that it actually helped him to be able to just go to a totally new level of skill. They call themselves gentlemen inventors, because they've really fine-tuned what they do and how they do it, and making it a way that they can be able to just take any challenge on, be resilient in those challenges, and know that they're going to be well thought out and having them be in a place of safety, but also as a place of creativity and fun and challenging and even maybe a little bit, you know, goofy or humorous, just because it's an oddity of having something out there. So when it comes to the resilience, you know, using laughter, using humor, using the lightness of all that, there's a couple TED Talks that are out there that come into attachment and resilience that's just really wonderful. And also working from happiness, because happiness is another way that if you find things in your life that can really be happy, it really helps you to be resilient with that too. You know, I'm thinking of just a couple different tragedies that we've had lately with France, and then also here in America with these group shootings that we've had. And just knowing that there's a resilience when we look at that and know that moving forward in our lives, being able to you know, to take a moment of silence and respect and honor of those, you know, tragic incidents. But yet knowing that, you know, as we move forward, to know that, you know, fear is the one thing that we can't have going on with our lives. It's, you know, how do I make my life matter, knowing that their lives did matter, and being able to honor those people, and being all of us being able to move forward in the world. I think that's part of the resilience that I wanted to talk about tonight, and have it where it's something that would really help us all to be just channels and just vehicles for change in just very positive and mindful ways, and have that be something that we can move forward with. So back to the book of The Road of Character, one thing that David talks about is just, you know, there's been studies that we've been looking at lately where if you go to Google and you check out the last, like, two decades, and you look at the different words that are being used on a constant basis, the economy and economics, things like that are definitely something that the words are being you know, researched very much. But he said that he's been looking at words like goodness and patience and simplicity and finding that those words are actually on the decline. And Oprah was really wonderful to say, you know, well, what is that saying about our souls? And it's, you know, he says, well, there's just a dynamic of having these things changing in ways that are really looking to us when it comes to a soul level. Is, are we really deepening who we are as people? Are we really making those ways of looking at one another and having it be something that could be a mark for just really helping us to be cultivating our souls, cultivating us on a deeper level? One thing that he said in the book I thought was really great, because he was talking about, you know, the challenges that we have in dealing with a shallow culture, in it being on the internet and TV and all the different things of having things just, you know, and they're just the massive amount of information that we're processing every day. But in the book, again, this was the part of the Road to Character with David Brooks. It says, the noise of fact and shallow communication make it harder to hear the quieter sounds that emulate from the depths. We live in a culture that teaches us to promote and advertise ourselves and to master the skills required for success. But that gives little encouragement to humility, sympathy, and honesty. Self-confrontation, which is necessary for building character. And he talks about that, about being able to come from a place of being focused. And what I really wanted to love about that when we're talking about deepening to the path of soul, it's really coming from that really quieter sounds that emulate from our depths. And again, with Big Magic, or the book study that we've done, looking at that from, you know, what are the ways that I can be cultivating my soul through my creativity, through, you know, anything that I know on a level of being able to express. If you go back to the magic lessons that Elizabeth had done, we had talked about the Brené Brown in one of our episodes. We have a YouTube available where you can actually listen in while Brené Brown and Elizabeth Gilbert are talking about that, about just the lack of soul that we're having in the world because of different things that happened when we were young and shamed. And I think that really goes back to when it comes to levels of having us, you know, come from resilience. There's a sadness of the resilience that we're not getting when we're denied being able to express ourselves through writing and art and just any way that we're expressing ourselves. I think one thing I'm really glad about is seeing when it comes to culinary things, that we're having it where we can go ahead and have that be something that would be really benefiting from us. So we've got a caller coming in here. Hey, caller, how are you? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, caller. Hello, caller. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. Have you been able to listen into the show?
I just logged in.
You just logged in? Okay, well, I'm glad you did. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Tao of Resilience and deepening of the path of the soul. Doesn't that sound like a mouthful?
Did you say the Tao of Resistance?
The Tao of Resilience.
Oh, resilience.
Yes, resilience. I was talking about, I'd seen a couple different things with, last night Katie and I went to a show, are you familiar with Mythbusters?
I am.
Okay. They Jamie and Adam are doing a tour with their show, This is they're actually going to have one more season of their show. They've already completed, and they were doing a science. They had like a science show that they did, and they were talking about Jamie had shared about juggling, and how that really helped him to have a sense of resilience about how he learned how to be able to do other things in his life. Because, you know, he didn't give up on being able to learn all the different tricks and stuff that he needed to do for juggling. And I was sharing how Katie, my daughter Katie, just really took in that message about what it takes to have a sense of failure, but yet that failure is helping you to get better and better and better. Because he said the one thing you can count on with juggling is you're going to keep dropping. That's just the way it is.
Kind of like so chopsticks.
Huh?
Kind of like eating with chopsticks.
Eating with chopsticks. Yeah, eating with chopsticks, same thing. That's definitely teaching resilience, especially if you're just eating the rice. Oh, my gosh.
Because you're constantly dropping things.
Yes. So what do you think of, I mean, have there been some major lessons for you when it comes to learning about resilience that you can think of?
Oh, life never gives up.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think, you know, once you've kind of learned it, you don't need to be on the planet anymore. So when it comes to being able to be resilient, it's always the next thing.
I don't know. I like the word resilience. It always, it feels durable.
Yes, it does.
You know, it makes me think, do you remember those advertisements, the TV commercials about Saran Wrap? You
mm-hmm.
would poke it. You'd poke it and it wouldn't puncture. That makes me think of resilience. It's the bouncing back, you know, it's like you can give, but yet you come back. And so the shape is still there. The oomph is still there. And it's not resistance. It's more like the durability to hang in, to hold on, and to stay in the shape and the direction you want to go.
I think that's brilliant. Yeah, yeah, that's a very good way of looking at it. I never would have thought of Saran Wrap as resilient, but it totally is. Thank you, Gloria. That was awesome. I was watching a couple TED Talks on resilience, and, of course, you know, they're coming from the science of resilience, you know, and saying it's a new research area. And looking at, you know, what really makes a difference in how we turn out in our lives. And they were talking about different kids that really have challenges. You know, you think of people with autism and just Asperger's, you know, different kinds of physical or mental handicaps. And how they just have this tenacity, this resilience about themselves, about not giving up. And I just think that's so admirable on that. It's like, you know, what does it take to have those kinds of things. And it seems to me when I've watched different documentaries or just, you know, people in general who have known who have had those kinds of things, it's so much, it's like one thing that the presentations was talking about was about the immediate family and how that's such an important dynamic to resilience. You know, the modeling of, you know, how did my mom handle that? Or, you know, how did my family or my grandmother handle those different, you know, challenges and things like that. So it makes me think of, say, you know, the depression and things like that, how, you know, us in our generation, seeing our, you know, our grandparents, you know, talk about that, the way that they looked at the world, how they were in the world, are all different ways that we really have impressions with that. So did you have stuff like that with your grandparents where you could see a way of being when it came to resilience that was a little different than your own?
That was the last three words. What did you just say that were different from your own?
The resilience. Seeing the resilience from them as opposed to yourself, and just seeing how it was, their perspective is different.
You mean them now versus me now?
Mm-hmm.
Or currently? Well, I noticed that, you know, from a generational standpoint, that there was a lot of stoicism. You know, it was, we will get through this. We are a team. And it was more about being a team than it was about the me generation.
Mm-hmm.
And how I am individually affected. And so it could be that there was better communication. It could be that there was less and just more understood, you know, that that this person is stoic and they don't talk a lot. So it could have been a combination of things that I'm unaware of, but they always seem to be, they seem to roll with things, I think. And it seemed that they rolled with more grace and ease.
It made it look like that anyway, right?
that's what I was just thinking is that, you know, there's the difference between being in the picture versus looking at the picture.
Yeah, exactly. That's reminding me of part of the thing that they did at the Mythbusters last night is they had four young men come up, like about 18. They all had them about the same size. And then they put these chairs where they all were facing one another with a little, you know, the fronts were all facing one another to where it shaped a little square, you know, where all of them came together. And then they had everybody sit sideways. So they were sitting, you know, one would sit on the opposite direction of the other. And then they had them lay down in each other's, their backs were on each other's, you know, the tops of their legs. And then they proceeded to pull the chairs away. So everybody was being supported with one another's legs. And
right.
It was really interesting. Yeah, it was really interesting to see how the young man responded to that. First of all, it just, of course, felt awkward. And then Jamie was encouraging them to try to walk around on stage. And I thought, gosh, what a great team exercise. That you have to work together and you're all there to, you know, not hurt one another because, you know, they all had to work as a team to be able to do it gracefully with each other. You know, everybody start on the right foot or whatever and be able to move back and forth on the stage. So it's just really interesting to see. They had a hard time. They had a hard time being able to move together. Of course, it was brand new to them. You know how that goes. But I just thought it was really interesting because it wound up being three guys that knew each other and then one other guy that came from another part of the audience. So it was really interesting to see that as an exercise. I like to see that as something that people could use as a team, you know, team exercise. So if anybody wants to know about more about that, we can have that on our own. Maybe I'll find a YouTube about that or something. I'll see if Andy can put that on if that would be a good thing. One thing that I really liked too when I was looking at the resilience is the one of the YouTubes. The guy was talking about the interaction that we have with one another as ordinary magic. And he really put that from just a point of, you know, helping another. And I know you really loved it. This is totally a great topic for you. It's helping younger people to just see those different ordinary things every day that really make a difference. Like, you know, what do you do when you make a mistake? That kind of a thing. And with all the development and stuff that you're working with, the different you know, books and programs and stuff that you've got going on. And you know, how do we connect it? And how, you know, why is it important for us to help one another? All these really basic questions that, as parents and teachers and, you know, even mentors, being able to show that to younger people, showing it to the next generation and having it be something where they really see how that does make a difference. So I was just wondering if there's anything on that you wanted to kind of, you know, some of the, you know, we consider ordinary magic, but it's those deep sharing moments that are very simple every day but really do make the difference. Did you have anything about that you wanted to say?
Well, I was having an internal laugh because the very first picture that came up when you said about how do they deal with making mistakes. And I suddenly saw this little boy that I had been interacting with, and something happened, and his immediate response was, I didn't do it. That wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
And, you know, the conversation that we had was, you know, obviously about, you know, taking responsibility, and, you know, I didn't want to hear that. And so it became kind of a running joke because, you know, it was said with all candor that it's like, I didn't do it, knowing full well that they did do it. So, I mean, I'd watch it. Was just very humorous. I was having a flashback.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, like, with this different, the things that you're developing in your, just with child development and stuff like that, you can think of when it comes to just, you know, parents for resilience with their children, anything that comes up for that?
Well, the idea of setting structure and boundaries is very important for their resilience because then they know where they have a safety net of knowing where the boundaries are and where the it's like if you were to walk through a house and be blind, or just to close your eyes in the dark, you know, and not turn on the lights. If you know where the furniture is, you can find your way in the dark without even opening your eyes. And so that's similar to having the rules. And the boundaries and the rules create the ability to move quickly and smoothly with resiliency, because there's less to knock their shins on and get tripped up by. So I think that having rules creates resiliency.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we move that to a soul level, because a part of what we're doing tonight is deepening, you know, the Tao of resilience, deepening the path of the soul, what would you say for yourself when it comes to deepening your soul path?
Well, I was going to add to that, and it does seem to apply to that last question, is, and, you know, as much as I really think that, you know, part of my goal on the things I'm developing is to be able to create a way in which our children can experience more success with less obstacles and less stressors, so that they are able to exceed us. Yet making sure that they go through a path, you know, they're going to have their own challenges. And they say the challenge is what creates that inner metal, you know, M-E-T-T-L-E, mm-hmm. inner metal. And yet, you know, it would seem counterintuitive based on what I'm saying that I want to create and have been working on. But with each individual having their own challenges as a child, if you go ahead and help to eliminate one challenge, for every one challenge you eliminate, they will automatically find another one, because they will be excelling beyond what they have done. So they will still encounter a challenge. It just won't be two challenges. It might be, you know, one that is, when you think mathematics and you have exponential amounts, you could have 2 to the second power. Well, because they skipped the initial, it's not 2 plus 2. And so instead of encountering that very basic initial challenge, when they move beyond, the next challenge they get is going to be exponentially more difficult, because it's in that next level of achievement. So mm-hmm. that in itself is going to create resiliency. So, you know, creating challenge for our children is not necessarily a good thing. It's not going to harm them, but it's and good, bad, and that's a poor choice of words. It can be just as productive to help them to remove the more menial challenges so that they can encounter the larger ones.
When I was looking at that that interview that the one doctor had about resilience with kids, he was saying that, you know, that he was asking a kid one time, he said, you know, what's a good day for you? And he said, a good day for me is I have no conflicts. And, you know, he talked to him about that, about, you know, but if you looked at your day and you were able to find solutions to those things, you know, wouldn't that be a good thing? And he just, it was from that overload of feeling like he had so much to deal with that I can't even imagine a day that wouldn't have conflicts. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you know, there can be less, and, you know, maybe not even more, depending on some of it's your perspective too. But I just thought that was such an interesting thing for him to say, that, you know, I have no conflicts.
Well, and the other thing too, it's kind of like stress. Stress comes
right.
about whether it's a positive or a negative stressor. All activity and change creates a stress of something, because it's changed a dynamic. So the conflict could be the same thing. It could be conflict of schedules because I had 2 parties to go to. I mean, and I know, I'm sure that that's probably not the, I'm assuming that's not the way he was, you know, referring to it, but it's interesting.
Right.
How old was the child in the interview?
I don't know. He didn't specify that much of it. It was just a story where he was just talking about, you know, one of his clients, you know, as a child, he was saying that a good day for him was he had no conflict. He wouldn't have anything bad to happen, you know.
Because I was looking towards the maturity level and you know, when you have a recognition of conflict,
well,
you're normally more in a heating.
Yeah, I figured he was in an elementary school or something like that because he was talking about going to school and not having any major, you know, things happen to him when he went to school. So I'm thinking more like an elementary, you know, age, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, because if he used, yeah. if the student used the word conflict, and you know, then that designates either a level of awareness and maturity because mm-hmm. at that age level, most children aren't looking at things as terms of the word conflict.
Yeah. Well, we've already gone at 30 minutes, but I really wanted to just make a note about, you know, when it comes to ways that we can nurture and be cultivating our resilience and deepening the path of soul, what would be something you would suggest for people that just on your personal walk that's really helped you to be able to deepen
breathe.
At a soul level?
Breathe,
yeah. Breathing
deeply.
Is good.
Breathe deeply.
Breathing deeply to deepen the soul.
And if you, you know, the thing that I always found very comforting, it was going out into nature, reconnecting with the vibrations of the planet
mm-hmm.
and the flora and the fauna. So, you mm-hmm. know, whether, depending on, you know, the demographics you live in, whether it be in the mountains, the plains, the oceans, it's just the deserts. I mean, going out and connecting with the earth is a good way.
Mm-hmm. And listening to the earth. Being able to listen to all the different, you know, the wind and the sounds of just being out in nature can be just
right.
Such a deepening experience for yourself, and you allow yourself just to be where you are and being able to truly listen. And that really helps you to help you listen to yourself, too. So I think that's a great answer. Great answer. Great answer. Well, thank you, Ms.
No
Ford.
Answer
is
the wrong answer.
Yeah, I know. Huh? Right answer, ding, ding, ding. Well, thank you for joining us. Like I said, the 30 minutes go super, super fast. Always great for having you on the show. And we will see you next time here at the cafe. Good night.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation.